Johnson's Wax Program. Good evening, everyone. The makers of Johnson's Wax present Marion and Jim as Fibber McGee and Molly, and wish to welcome to this program Ted Weems and his orchestra, who open the show with Swing Mr. Charlie. Swing it, Mr. Weems. Certainly are interested in knowing the easiest and best way to keep your car polished and clean. Then let me tell you about Johnson's new auto cleaner and polish. This new cleaner is so easy to use. You can do the job yourself in an hour or two of your spare time, no matter how dull the finish might be. Johnson's auto cleaner is a creamy white liquid. You apply just a little of this liquid, which dries quickly to a white powder. Wipe off the powder, and along comes all the dirt and road film. You both clean and polish your car in one simple operation when you use Johnson's new auto cleaner and polish. It contains no harsh abrasives to injure the finish. Johnson's cleaner removes the dirt only and leaves the car gleaming like new. You're sure to get a lot of compliments from your family and friends when they see the wonderful polish on your car. Ask your dealer right away for Johnson's auto cleaner and polish in the attractive yellow can. Well, Wistful Vista is all in a dither this week. Yes, sir, with a new orchestra on deck, there are a lot of things to be ironed out on this program. And here come those two famous little ironer-outers, Fibber McGee and Molly.
How do you think this fellow Weems is going to do, Molly?
Oh, fine, McGee. He played that first number real beautiful. You know, that Hang Mr. Henry?
Swing Mr. Charlie. Oh, yeah. You think his orchestra is balanced okay?
Balanced? Is this a tightrope act or a radio program?
No. I mean, how about the saxophones? Ain't they too close to the piano? And how about the brass?
These are yours.
And that fella that does the whistling, that Elmo Tanner, I think he's just a mite too incognito. I think he ought to put more stuff into it.
Such as how?
Well, like this. Listen. You see? Like that. Why, I mind the time I was the whistling sensation of the Chautauqua. That was the way...
to hear Mr. Tanner when he whistles those trills.
Oh, you do, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'll have him do it for you. Hey, Elmo.
What is it, Fibber?
Give Molly a little trill, will you?
Not me, boy. I'm married. You give her a trill.
Harvard lad, Elmo is. I think I better talk to Ted and the boys, though, Molly. If they're going to be with us, they got to understand how we do things.
Well, if they understood that, they'd quit.
Well, anyway, I'm going to give them some advice.
All right, McGee, but for heaven's sake, be diplomatic.
Diplomatic, eh? Where did that get Haile Selassie? Now, first, I'll introduce you to Ted. Nice fella, Ted is. Hey, Ted, come here, will you?
Hello, Fibber. What's the matter?
Ted, I want you to meet the...
Oh, hello, Molly.
Hello, Teddy dear.
You two met before?
Oh, yes. Molly and I used to go to school together.
Oh, then you did go to school. Hey, Harpo.
Yeah?
I lose the bet.
Whatever became of that necktie you were knitting for me when we were in high school, Molly?
Oh, it isn't finished yet, Ted. You see, when I married McGee...
About this band, Ted. You see, it sounds kind of different here in the studio.
Oh, I thought it would be better here with two harps.
I don't think you handle that fanfare right. You don't get enough ta-da-ta-da into it.
How do you mean?
Well, here, give me that stick.
Baton, maybe.
Huh?
Not stick, baton.
As in baton your old gray bonnet.
What do we get here, a new band or a new comedian?
What do you mean, a new comedian?
You finish that next time, Molly, and let me try it.
How about that fanfare, McGee?
Oh, yes, the fanfare. Now, watch me lead the lads in the fanfare, Teddy, my boy. You'll see the difference.
No doubt.
All right, boys. The fanfare in G minor. You ready? On the downbeat now. One, two, three, spiel.
Beautiful. Now I know why they lost the lost chord.
You know what was the matter, Fibber?
What?
You had the baton wrong end, too.
Oh.
Here, hold it this way. Now watch me do it.
Okay.
See?
Molly, I wonder if we couldn't put this program on with phonograph records.
I'm sorry, you can't see Mr. Weems now.
Hey, Harpo, who's that? What's the matter over there?
Well, this young lady says she must see Mr. Weems.
Hey, lady, this here's the Johnson's Wax broadcast. You can't... Oh, hello there, Geraldine.
Oh, Mr.
You know, I heard Mr. Weems was going to be on this show, and I told Gerald I simply must come up and get his autograph. So Gerald just gave me a blank check. Wasn't that cute? I mean, wasn't it really?
Oh, I don't know. Anyway, I don't think Ted can write real good.
Oh, I think Mr. Weems has the most marvelous band, really. And you see them just every place. I mean, you really do. We saw the chap that does the whistling. Elmo Tanner, you know.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we saw him at the racetrack the other day, eating a frankfurter sandwich. And Gerald said it reminded him of the old song.
What old song?
The Whistler and His Dog.
I know, but listen, Geraldine, this here's a radio
program. Oh, and Red Ingles, too. I told Gerald Red Ingles used to play Kringle Line with Jack Benny. And Gerald said yes, but he'd probably play Hob with Fibber McGee. Oh, Gerald gets off the niftiest things, Mr. McGee.
No, I don't care what he gets off, just so he gets off.
So I told her I really must come up and see them, really.
Well, that's
Oh,
my...
yes, and Terry Como. Huh. Oh, he was my first thrill. I wonder if he'll sing that for me.
Why, you betcha, Geraldine. Hey, Terry. Sing My First Thrill for Geraldine, will you?
I'll be glad to.
Hey, where are you going, Geraldine?
Oh, I'm so excited. I've got the jitters so bad, I simply must get into the control room. Bill, Bill, Bill.
Rocking horse that I got from Santa Claus. My first thrill was you. My first thrill, it wasn't the circus clown that scared all the kids in town. My first thrill was you. Remember that morning in September, the day you let me carry your books to school. I stuttered with every word I uttered. I held your hand and blushed like an April fool. My first thrill, it wasn't a circus clown. I'm sure it was your two lips when I kissed you.
Now back in the studio here at NBC, where Fibber McGee and Molly are instructing Ted Weems and his boys in the delicate art of... Say, listen, let go my sleeve. Can't you see I'm making an announcement?
I know, but you can spare a minute. This program now, whose band is in it?
Why, Ted Weems, you ought to know that.
Fine, I was afraid I might be wrong. I'd like to sell this guy a song.
Oh, I see. You're a song plugger.
Sure, I plug him, I sell him, I even write him. I rhyme like this ad infinitum.
Listen, I think you were dropped on your head by a careless nurse.
Sure, I was, and ever since I talk in voice.
Listen, I'm getting sick of all these cracks.
Even when it rhymes with Johnson's back?
Oh, for the... Hey, Fibber, Molly, come here a minute.
Wilcox?
You lose your place in the script again, Harpo?
No, listen, I don't know who let this fellow in, but he's a song salesman, and he's determined to sell Ted Weems a song. You talk to him. This is Fibber McGee, Mr.
Hi, Bud. What can I do for you?
Hello there, brother. My name's Ed. Where can I find that band guy, Ted? This is a dandy time, it seems, to sell a song to Mr. Weems.
Oh. I see. A songwriter, eh?
Do I write songs? Oh, boy, and how? Listen, I can write one now. I can write some hot shot lyrics.
That will give us all hysterics.
You better run along, Bud. Any songwriting going on around here, me and Molly can handle it. Can't we, Molly? Chucks, we're an old songwriting team. Ain't we, Molly?
Sure. He does the words, I write the score.
Go on your way, son. There's the door. I guess that was getting rid of a pest, all right. I mind the time a fellow like that...
Look out, McGee. He's in again.
Hey, you, I thought I told you...
Now, wait a minute. Don't be so callous. If you should need me any time, you can always find me standing in front of the palace.
Now, what was I saying?
Well, you were telling Mr. Weems about how the program is handled, McGee.
Oh, yeah. Listen, Ted, Hey, where's Weems?
Down behind the piano.
Oh, yeah. You can come out now, Ted. That song plugger's gone.
Much obliged, Fibber. Now, what were you saying?
Well, I was just going to say, Ted, about this music. You see, we generally open the show with a fanfare, like this. Ta-da, 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 ta-da!
McGee, he knows that. He just did it at the start of the show.
Huh? Oh, yes. Then after the fanfare, Ted, Harpo Wilcox comes in and he says, shucks, can you beat that? What do you say, Harpo?
Fine, thanks. How are you?
Anyway, Ted, I think your fiddle players are just a mite off key.
Oh, now, McGee, they're nothing of the kind.
Why, my, do you mean to stand there and tell me I don't know a true pitch when I hear one?
I do. What do you know about music?
What do I know about music? Say, didn't I ever tell you about playing the musical saw with Stokowski?
Go on. Who ever heard of a musical saw in an orchestra?
Well, this was a band saw. Don't you get it, Molly? I see.
Ain't funny, McGee.
Okay. Let's see. Where was I? Oh, yeah. Now, you see, Ted, when I was playing the musical saw, I knew I had me a great future in music. Why, when I touched that old fiddle bow to my silver-plated saw, I was just on fire with ambition.
Well, you may get hot with a musical saw, but they say Bob Burns with a bazooka.
So finally, the neighbors got so jealous of me...
Wait a minute. Where was this, Fibber?
Down in Tennessee. I raised sheep down there.
Oh, dear.
But somehow my sheep got sick. They couldn't sleep. Day after day and night after night, they stood there on their little teepsy-weepsies getting thinner and thinner. Till finally, I decided I'd find out what was the matter with them. So I walks across the field to the sheep pasture when all of a sudden a big red bull starts chasing me and I had to hop over the fence quick. But Dad read it, there was another bull on the other side, and I had to hop back again.
Yeah. And when the bull throws McGee, Ted, that's news.
Well, sir, there I was, all evening long, jumping back and forth and back over that fence between them two bulls. Till the bulls got tired out, and I went to see my sheep.
Well, how were they?
Sound asleep. Them sheep had counted me jumping over a fence till they just couldn't stay away. Proven it's a poor rule that won't work both ways. But what started you talking about sheep, Ted?
Who, me?
He didn't, McGee. You pulled the wool over your own eyes. But what's all this got to do with your musical saw, anyway?
Well, I'm coming to that. You see, every time I played that saw, our neighbors, the Martins, over on the next ridge would complain. started a regular feud between them Martins and us Coys. Oh, a real dirty feud, too.
Sir. So you're a Coy, huh?
Yes, sir.
Well, my mother's name was Martin.
No.
We'll fight this out here and now.
Okay. Load up them shooting irons, boys. And when I say three, start shooting. Three!
Gather round me, children, and I'll tell a story of the mountains and the days when guns was law. When two families got disputing, it was bound to end in shooting. So just listen close and I'll tell you what I saw.
Oh, the Martins and the boys, they were breakfast mountain boys.
And they took up family feuding when they meet. Why, they would shoot each other quicker than it took your eye to flicker. And they could knock a squirrel guy out at 90 feet. All their fighting started one bright Sunday morning, when old Grandpa Coy was full of Mountain Dew. Just as quiet as a church mouse, he stole in the Martin hen house, cause the Coys, they needed eggs for breakfast too.
Oh, the Martins and the Coys, they were breakfast mountain boys.
But old Grandpa Coy had gone where angels live. Why, when they found him on the mountain, he was bleeding like a fountain, cause they bunked him so he looked like a fish. So the Coys, they started right out to avenge him. And they didn't even take time out to mourn. Why, they went out to do some killing where the Martins was distilling. And they found old Abel Martin making corn.
Oh, the Martins and the Coys, they were breakfast mountain boys.
But old Abel Martin was the next to go. Although he saw the Coys coming, he had hardly started running before a volley shook the hills and laid him low. Now after that, they started out to fight in earnest. And they scarred the mountains up with shot and shell. Why, there was uncles, brothers, cousins. Say they bumped them off by dozens. Just how many bits of dust, it's hard to tell.
All the Martins and the Coys, they were breakfast mountain boys.
At the art of killing, they became quite deaf. Now they all know they shouldn't do it. But before they hardly knew it, on each side they only had one person left. Now the sole remaining Martin was a maiden, and as pretty as a picture was this grave. While the one surviving boy was the handsome Henry Coy, and the folks all knew they'd soon meet face to face.
Oh, the Martins and the Coy, they were reckless mountain boys.
But their shooting and their killing sure played hard. And it didn't bring no joy to know that Grace and Henry Coy, they both had sworn that they would finish up the job. So they finally met upon a mountain pathway. And Henry Coy, he aimed his gun at Grace. Why, he was set to pull the trigger when he saw her pretty figure. You could see that love had kicked him in the face.
All the Martins and the Coys, they were reckless mountain boys.
But they say their ghostly cousin gives you chills, because that hatchet sure was buried when sweet Grace and Henry married. It broke up the best darn feud in these here hills. Now you may think that this is where the story ended, but I'm telling you, them ghosts don't cuss no more. Cause since Grace and Henry wedded, they fight worse than all the rest did, and they carry on the feud just like before.
That was The Martins and the Coys, played by Ted Weems and his boys, with the vocal rendition by Elmo Tanner. A while ago, I told you how Johnson's Auto Cleaner makes all cars sparkle like new again. Now, I want you to know how easy it is to keep your car beautifully polished, to protect the finish so it will always stay like new. The answer is wax, Johnson's Auto Wax. Wax your car so dirt can't stick to it. Wax it so the sun's hot rays can't harm the finish. And be sure that you use Johnson's Auto Wax. I've mentioned this before, but it's well worth repeating. You save more when you Johnson wax your car. You save the car finish. You save car washing. You increase trade-in value. Do the job yourself. It's easy with Johnson's Auto Wax. Or ask your garage or service station to wax your car for you. The cost is small. But see that your car is wax protected right away with Johnson's Auto Wax.
Scott.
Yes, Molly, what is it?
Do you think we can stop the program for a minute? Here's a lady I want you to introduce to the radio audience.
Why, certainly. Who is it?
It's Mrs. Lewis J. Johns. She's president of the Mother's League for Better Music. Mrs. Johns, Mr. Reese.
How do you do, Mrs. Johns?
How do you do? I just came into the studio, Mr. Wilcox and Mr. McGee, to express the wish of all the mothers in our organization, which is that you be congratulated on your acquisition of Mr. Ream's orchestra. It has long been one of our favorites, and we, who have the interest of Better Music at heart, feel you are doing a fine thing to encourage a splendid organization such as Mr. Ream's has.
Well,
we're certainly obliged to you, Mrs. Johns. We're obliged to you for coming up in a few...
Excuse me just a moment. Do you think it would be possible to ask Mrs. Weems? Oh, no, it's too ridiculous.
Why, nothing's too ridiculous for you, ma'am. What was it you wanted? Here's Ted Weems right here. Here's Ted, you can ask him yourself.
Certainly, anything.
See, ma'am? Weems is a great guy. He'd give you the shirt off his back.
Oh, I wouldn't want that. But, if I could just have some little souvenir of this occasion, just some trifle. Oh, I have it. The sleeve of your coat will be perfect.
Hey.
Oh, thank you so much. Goodbye.
Hey, say, Mrs. Johns.
Yes?
Maybe you got a girlfriend. Here's the other sleeve. You don't mind, do you, Ted?
Oh, not at all. I can lead the band much better this way.
By the way, what is your next number, Mr. Williams?
Russian Rag.
Oh.
That's kind of a coincidence, eh, Molly? Well, now that we finally got the program running smooth again, maybe Ted will go...
Excuse me, my little kilowatt, but will you let my men through there?
Hey, wait a minute.
Thank you. Very sorry to interrupt your rehearsal, but business before pleasure, well, as the mortician said when he ran over three people on his way to the ballpark.
Who is this?
It's me. Who are you, Bud?
Don't call me Bud.
Well, I didn't...
And don't call me Stoopnagel. They're both wrong. Put the stuff right over here, boys.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Set those lights up by the piano there. Now then, hold still, everybody. The plates, Charlie. Yes, yes.
What do you mean, plates? You going to have a picnic in here? What's the idea of busting in here like this, anyway?
Sorry, my friend. Sorry, but we've got to take some pictures if you want publicity. Set those cameras up here, boys. Yes, that's fine. Yes, sir, my little thespian. Newspapers all over the country are clamoring, yes, clamoring for pictures of this aggregation. Thank you, boys. Nice clamoring, yes. Now, my friend, you ought to take a splendid picture.
Well, but I've always been told, brother. That's what everybody says to me. Boy, you sure take a swell picture, they say. And I always...
Splendid, splendid. Now then, just hold this bulb in your hand and squeeze it when I tell you.
Huh?
Hold it. All right. Squeeze it.
Say, I thought you were going to take McGee's picture. You made him take yours.
Yeah.
I know. But he told me he always took a good picture, so I thought I'd let him try it. Yeah. Now, if we can get the band leader here before the camera, step right this way, please, Mr. Whiteman.
What do you mean, Mr. Whiteman?
Why, that's Ted Reed.
You mean to say that... Well, well, well. Thought he'd got thinner, yeah. Very stupid of me. Pack up the stuff, boys. We're in the wrong studio, yeah. Let me see now. Where was I supposed to go? NBC, Studio J, somewhere between... Talk, dear. First, elevator to 19th floor. I seem to have made a slight mistake, yes. Come on, boys, bring the cameras. Sorry to have interrupted your rehearsal, Mr. I don't believe I caught the name.
Boy, I'm Fibber McGee.
That's so. What are you doing for us? All right, boys.
Fine publicity man he is. Comes up here and takes his own picture.
Reminds me of the time I was working as a cameraman, Molly.
You a cameraman? When were you a cameraman?
Out in Hollywood in 1902. They had a cameraman there that was no good, and I took his place.
What was the matter with him?
He was a yes man, and nobody could get a good negative out of him. Well, sir, as I said, I was on the road with a film.
And speaking of road film, you can easily remove it from your car with the wonderful new Johnson's Auto Cleaner and Polish.
Hey, Harpo.
Yeah, what's the matter?
You get an awful lot of ideas for advertising, don't you?
Oh, I don't know, Fibber. I
don't you ever run out?
Well, yes.
Now, let's see you do it. Let's see. Where was I?
Oh, McGee, don't listen now, but here comes that songwriter again. Mm.
Excuse me, please, but after the show...
Whatever it is, the answer is no.
Well, now I hope that's the last interruption we'll have.
Well, you can't blame folks for being enthusiastic and trying to crash in here, Molly, when you get a handsome guy like Ted Wings on a
phone. Excuse me, Fibber, but here's a little girl who's been trying all evening to get in here. This is Mr. McGee, little girl.
Why?
What do you mean, why? That's my name, that's why.
That's why what?
Say, who are you? What do you want?
I want to see Mr. Weems, I betcha.
Well, you can't. Mr. Weems is busy. We're putting a program on.
On what?
On the air. We're broadcasting. Millions of folks are listening in.
We hope.
Why, they're even listening to what you and me are saying right here.
See, honest?
You betcha they hear every word of it.
Every word?
Yep, every word.
Well, if Mary Jones is listening in, she better bring back my roller skates by tomorrow. I'll stop her in the porch.
What was it you wanted?
I want to see Mr. Weems.
I told you Mr. Weems was busy. What do you want to see him about?
My mama.
Oh, and who's your mama?
She's a lady.
I know, but what lady?
The lady I want to see Mr. Weems about.
Hey, Molly, you get the idea of this? Some woman that's crazy about Ted sends her little girl in to fix up a date.
Yeah.
Kind of cute, huh? I'll fix her. There ain't any female mashers putting nothing over on Silver McGee. Listen, sis.
Hmm?
You go back and tell your mama that Ted's going to be busy after the broadcast. Tell her I got it all fixed up for him with a beautiful blonde. Run along now.
Okay, mister. Hey, Mama. This man says Daddy won't be home after the show. He's got a date with a big blonde.
This year, more than ever before, smart car owners are protecting the finish on their cars with Johnson's Auto Wax. At the same time, smart housewives are keeping their floors clean and sparkling with Johnson's Glow Coat. This remarkable no-rubbing polish quickly changes dull, lifeless floors into beautiful, shining surfaces without any rubbing or buffing. Glow Coat seals the floor against scratches and dirt and saves you hours of cleaning time. Look for the attractive yellow can with the lettering Johnson's Glow Coat, G-L-O hyphen C-O-A-T. You'll find you save as much as one-third by ordering Glow Coat in the larger sizes.
Well, McGee, tonight and tomorrow there'll be 3 million ex-servicemen sitting at home waiting for the postman to ring the doorbell and hand them their bonus. And I got it all planned out what we'll do with your bonus. Now, I need a new summer outfit, a fall coat, and a few pairs of shoes, and a couple of hats, and say, maybe we could trade in the car and take a nice long trip. By the way, how long was you in the service, McGee?
4 days.
Good night. Good night, all.
Harlow Wilcox speaking. This is the National Broadcasting Company.